Ephesians 5:25, turn there. Ephesians 5:25, we're still talking about marriage. You know, I just know that God has done so many things in my life over the years that, I'll say it anyway, Andrew and I got married. We talk later, and she told me, she says, well, you know, obviously we got married. She goes, I remember when we got married, I thought, well, I'll marry him, and I hope it lasts. not very good, right? Okay, so, but from where I came from, though, it's complete heathen. You know, I was a musician on the road, and you're bored when you're a musician, right? You're on the road. So what do you do in hotel rooms? You drink. You do other things, right? So smoke marijuana, whatever. So, you know, I needed help, a lot of help, you know. Adrian and I, we were dated for a long time, and I think it was like, I love him, but I'm not sure his character, I'm not sure he has the capacity to keep this long term, you know. So, yeah, it was, I had a lot of issues and baggage that I needed to get rid of. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, the Lord is the only one that, because we would not still be together if it wouldn't be for the Holy Spirit, right? Wouldn't be for the Lord, because he's the one that kept the glue together. He's the one that fused us and helped us through some things. Amen? So, you know, you look back and you think, you know, it's a pretty impossible case, you know, but you don't know what our marriage is like. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what she's like. Guess what? It doesn't matter, because I've seen it all, and God can do anything. Amen? If he can change me, then he can change you. He can change anybody. But it's just your willingness, right? And there are a lot of people, they're in a sad shape where they're having issues, but they don't think they need help. You know, especially guys, we're kind of that, everything's okay kind of mentality. I'm all right, you know. But your leg just got chopped off. Just put it in a cooler. I'll be all right. Just, you know, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. We'll just patch it up. No, so guys are, I mean, it's our nature. I'm like that too, you know. I'll be all right, you know. So, like, girls get hurt or anything like that. I do it as a joke. They'll say, Daddy, look. Oh, my gosh. And I, you know, panic and everything. And then that gets them wound up, which isn't good. But then it gets them laughing, you know. You know, we'll have to cut it off. A little scrape like that. It's not that big a deal. All right. So that's just kind of that's me. But the wisdom part of that is to find out that, you know what, we do have issues, but they can be fixed. But we don't need men acting like women or women acting like men, right? So you watch Oprah and you watch some of these other shows and they try to get men to act like women. You know, get into your feelings and everything. Guess what? That ain't me. I'm a guy. I'm wired different, okay? And that's okay. But, you know, we're trying to, and that's why I believe it has frustrated too many men in the past, is because, you know, too many talk shows and too many psychologists are trying to get men to be women, and it's not that way. You know, of course we want to be sensitive towards our wives. Of course we want to have these things, but guess what? God wired us different. We don't have to think like women. We don't have to be like women. Women don't have to be like men. Let's just stay in our own lane. All right, that's kind of good. So it doesn't matter, you know, how much, you know, I love my girls and everything, but there's just that nurturing part of me that's just not going to be like Adrian, okay? And that's okay, because I bring something else to the table. You know, ladies, you bring something else to the table in your marriage, and that's a good thing, right? Because we both have different attributes. I believe, you know, when Adam was created, And it says there in Genesis chapter 3, where God took, in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 3, talking about how God, you know, Adam went into a deep sleep, and then he removed a rib, okay? I believe probably Adam had both attributes. And at that point, when the rib was taken out, the female part, then two, they became one. Okay? And we need each other. I think that's the biggest thing now in our society is like, I've got it all in control. It's all right. No, you need help. We need help. We need each other. And again, hence the church. We need, you know, it's amazing because I've got some people that you know, I know they need help now, and they need all this help with doing things. And this one person, she, you know, they need help, and well, she has no church, no family, no church family or anything around. Well, you don't have any help now. I was, you know, kind of people who their kids, they need, oh, we need to get married, or you know, death happens and you need somebody to be there. You know, life happens and you just have to have people around you. That's it. You just happen to be. I was, you know, it's been quite a while back, but there was a person that their, you know, family member died and they had nobody to call. They didn't go to church. They're sitting in the hospital for hours because they have nobody to call to be there with them. What a horrible feeling, you know? Your dead spouse is in the next room and you got nobody to call. It's just, again, we need each other. You think, I don't need it. You need somebody. I need somebody. You need people around us. We all need people, right? Jesus needed people when he walked on the earth. He had 12 disciples. He had to have people to pour something into. He still needs people today to reach out and to touch people. So again, you know, we are not an island of ourselves. If you don't believe me, then guess what? You don't want me doing surgery on you. Okay, you need somebody else. I need somebody else. Okay, you're in trouble if I'm there for brain surgery. All right, right? It's not going to be pretty. You know, ooh, that looks scary. Ooh, let's see. What do I do with these extra pieces here? Right? Not good. So we do need each other. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, again, marriage, we are often the thought process that we marry the person to make ourselves happy. You know what the Bible, Jesus said, and we'll look at it here later, he came to serve, not to be served. It's completely revolutionary in this way of thinking, because often we marry people, and again, you do marry, we do get married because there is a need and you want that fulfilled, right? Emotionally, physically, there's a lot of needs. But when you enter in, it is to serve the other person. What would the world be like if everybody fell over themselves to serve each other? Just think about it. What would that be like? You know, let me get that for you. Oh, let me get. Kind of skip through here. We've been talking about, we're kind of talking about men this morning, the husbands. You know, our society reflects on a generation of selfish men, you know. And that, I would say this, the number one, we talked about it last week. We're moving on to some new things this morning, but you know, the number one thing that causes marriages are going to be ungodly men, unrighteous men, right? Why? Because God instilled in us to lead, and when the head is gone and the head is out, that's why the word says, "Smite the shepherd, and what? The sheep will scatter." If the head is out of order, then everything else is going to come undone, right? Now, it doesn't mean that ladies don't have a part to contribute to it, because they do. I am an equal opportunity offender, so I will be all over the ladies' cases here in just a little bit, but guess what? You have to love me because the Bible tells you you do, right? So, yeah, I'm kidding. No, I'm really not, but anyway. So, right? God instilled men to be lead their families, churches, societies, and our spouses and family will react either one way. They're going to be, it's going to be contempt, or it's going to be appreciation, one of the two. Now, when I say lead, it doesn't mean dictate. So anytime you talk about lead, and especially in a household, it's like, oh, we're oppressive, he's a chauvinist pig, and the Bible's just chauvinist. No, it's not. What it means is, God, guys, we got to step up to a level. Because we also see that just right there, that we need to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. Our love for our wives needs to be equal to the love of Jesus. Those are enormous shoes to fill, guys. We got to come up to the level of Jesus. We got some big responsibility. And then later it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. And it is scary for wives to submit themselves to their husbands, right? Because I don't know what I'm going to get. I mean, this is a pretty tough. I just say this, you know, when Adrienne and I got married, she's, if you've been around her, she's a pretty independent person, right? Very strong-willed, very, you know, a little bit of a tough pill for her to swallow. But the point is, when we come and say, you know, I'm prayed about it, I've done these things, and that she knows I've got her best interests at heart, right? And that I love her unconditionally with the love of Christ. Even just, I got to repent here in front. We were driving to the picnic. Man, that was good food, wasn't it? You know, I was teasing Dwight. I'm like, what did you do to those hot dogs? It's like, you just like put this magical glaze of happiness all over it. And then I woke up this morning dreaming about hot dogs grilled. I woke up, the first thing is like, ooh, I wish I had some of those Dwight hot dogs this morning. It's like heavenly, you know? And I instantly thought, you know, we're going to have hot dogs like that in heaven. I'm not like this real hot dog, you know, connoisseur, because at home we just boil them because, I mean, chip, chop, chip. You know, we need meals done quick and to feed the tribe and move on, right? So it's like, you know, we got stuff to do, but it was good. But on the way there, I mean, the GPS, I don't like Siri. I'm just telling you right now, if I use the word hate, I don't hate people, but I don't like Siri. I'll just tell you right now. So Adrienne loves Siri, and just she's talking to that silly thing all the time. So it's directions up there, and I'm blowing up. I'm like, this thing is stupid. I just want to throw Siri out the window. And had to repent, right? So we as men need to repent. We need to, you know, and the girls, I just said, girls, I'm sorry, Daddy missed. I blew up. You know, I still don't like Siri any more than I did 10 minutes ago. So annoying. But had to repent, right? So again, we as fathers, men of the household, we need to come. I said, you know what, Daddy was wrong. And then, because we had music playing, I couldn't hear it. And anyway, and Emily said, well, Daddy, it was my fault because I had the music. I'm like, no, it's not your fault. Daddy, let's just blame Siri, all right? She'll be our scapegoat. We'll just blame Siri, all right? Then we're all out of hot water, okay? And we can all just avoid it. Oh, but fathers, right? So we talk about men, and I love this, the older generation to be around it. You know, they always gauge everything off of work ethic, you know. You know, my grandparents, well, he's a good worker, you know. Well, it was always based your character off of your work ethic. And, of course, nowadays, you know, what is a work ethic? You know, what are those things? And so as men, we're instilling examples into our children. They're watching us all the time, right? And I have to watch myself often because, especially men, we've got girls, you know, the most influential person in their life is going to be Daddy. So if we're not setting that example, and I always tell my girls, you know, they're always talking about, I'm like, if you don't have a boy that treats you twice as good as I do, you better dump him and leave him, mm-hmm. Right? The expectation for our kids needs to be way up here for a spouse, right? It does. And it is the single most important decision in your life besides accepting Jesus as your Savior. I've seen too many people, we connect with the wrong person and then your life gets off track and everything else too. But guess what? You can still, you know, you can still repent and change things. I believe this, you know, too many people, they're self-condemning. Well, I should have done this. I made this mistake. No, God's plan, He has a plan A for you right now at this point. God's not, oh, well, it's too bad you're off track now, so your life's ruined. You missed the mark back there, you know, 5 miles ago. No, there's a plan A for your life right now. Right now, you can make a decision and make everything right in your life again and be on track. God's not in heaven going, oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, look what He did. The plan's ruined. I mean, we're all done, okay? There's nothing we can do now, all right? We'll just have to ride it out, and hopefully He can make it up here. No, He's got a plan A for you, right? You missed the mark, there's a plan A. I mean, the Apostle Paul was, I don't know if I'm getting off on this stuff, but the Apostle Paul was persecuting Christians. I mean, that would have been enough to say, God, oh, nope, nope, nope. But there was a plan A for Paul. I mean, he was throwing Christians in prison. Some of them were being executed. I mean, Saul, before his name was changed to Paul, Saul, in the book of Acts, and he had a road to Damascus, became blind for 3 days, right? Repented, came back, wrote most of the New Testament. King David messed up again and again and again and again. Abraham messed things up. But there was still a plan A. You know, oh, here comes Ishmael. Oh, it's all over. We're all done. No, there was still a plan A for Abraham. Isaac came through. Always a plan A. So don't listen to the devil and get yourself condemned. No, that's not. So again, just because our society, so there's four different types of destructive husbands. Number one, dominant husband. Number two, passive husband. Number three, immoral husband. And number four, the distracted husband. The dominant husband. Let's look at 1 Kings. We read through this last week, but it's good to mention this again. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 4. Now, King Solomon died. King Solomon was the son of King David. All right? Now, so King Solomon built the temple and he did all these other things. We see here that Rehoboam, his son, was going to take the throne. And the people come to him and they say, oh, please don't put this heavy workload on us like your father did. We need, you know, please just let up on this workload. And so what does he do? Verse 4, they came to him and said, please, you know, take this heavy load, burden off of us, that your workload that your father had. And then he comes along and he says in verse 7, hey, you know, today, if you will be a servant to these people and to serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will be your servants. So these wise men come to him and say, hey, if you'll serve the people, if you'll be a blessing to them, they're never going to leave you. They'll be completely faithful to you. All right? So just right now, you know, your father had really put a heavy workload on them. Well, they got the temple built. Everything's okay. Now let's go ahead and just change gears here. Okay? Let's just be a servant to them. Well, then he gets these young friends that come along and say this. The young men who have grown up with him replied, these people have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Now tell them, my little finger is thicker than your father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. It will make it even heavier. And my father scourged you with whips, and I will scourge you with scorpions. Well, verse 19, that didn't go very well. The people rebelled, and the kingdom split. So at that point, that's where we get the kingdom. Throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we see the north and the south, or we see Israel and Judah divided up into two kingdoms and a split. They rebelled from the boss. They rebelled from the overbearing leader. And we as husbands don't need to be overbearing. Again, Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28, Jesus here, we'll just kind of condense it, talks about being a servant instead of being served, to be a blessing. You know, the interesting thing is, like last night, we were sitting there, and it's amazing how when I tell my girls to go clean their room, but if there's something attached to it, like you can watch a movie afterwards, it's like, bam! I mean, just like Shazam, it's all clean, you know? But you know what they like to do? Like, Daddy, come down and help us. Daddy, come down and watch us, right? They like to be doing things with us. No, I'm not, you know, I'll help them because we have stuffed animals. We have these nets that, I mean, I've never seen anybody has as many stuffed animals as my girls. It's just ridiculous. It's like they're just gremlins. They just like pop out of the woodwork. Just add water. And they're just popping up all over the place. It's like, how do we get like all these stuffed animals? I mean, where do these things come from? You know, they're like manifesting all over the place. But so I'm helping them do things, right? But there's still a demand on them. But I'm there serving and helping them. Man, I'll tell you, we as parents, we have kids or whatever. And you're always thinking, oh, I better get some return out of this at some point. You know, when am I going to cash in, you know? Yep. One of these girls better be the next Bill Gates or So I'm telling you right now, man. Amen. But again, it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Last week we were talking about this too. It is really funny. But Adrian and I were visiting these people, and we were there one time when we were done eating supper, just talking, and all of a sudden he just turned to his wife and said, "Okay, it's time for you to go to bed now." All right, well, we're done here. All right, well, I guess we're going home. But he never helped with the kids, never did anything like that. And, you know, again, we want to be, how can I say, we lead by being a servant in the house as men. We lead by example, right? I don't expect anybody else at nighttime with our girls. I'm reading the Bible to them, or reading confessions, we're doing things. I do that myself every night, right? Now, if there's an example, we get home super late and everybody's sacked out, then yeah, I'm not poking that bear, right? You're going to bed. We'll maybe do it in the morning or something else, right? You know. But what I'm saying is most of the time, 99% of the time, I do that, right? Because I can't expect them to do something that I'm not willing to display myself, right? And that's where rebellion comes in. Rebellion is rules without relationship. And that's why people were so attracted to Jesus, because again, he led by being a servant, right? I mean, you think about it, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, it wasn't like our roads here. You know, or a little dust, or you walk down a gravel road. I mean, there's animals traveling down these roads. Can you imagine what's on their feet? What that's like, you know? That's like the most undesirable job ever. Yeah, really bad. And what do you do? He served people. We see too that, sometimes... especially boys, undermatured, or sometimes when we see that, you know, boys have been under some super dominant parents, or they've been under that influence, sometimes they can be detached to parents, and that can carry on to, again, their parenting, right? I've been in households with extremely dominant personalities. So sometimes I have to fight that a little bit myself, right? You're going to do this, and there are times where you just have to lay down the law. But boys can become overdeveloped in the emotionally defense area, and they will develop strong personalities. Now, strong personalities can be great, you know? People that just say, oh, you're so strong-willed, they're just so strong-willed. We'll funnel that strong-willedness in the right direction, right? We don't want... because if there's something instilled in kids where they have a certain personality trait, it's there for a reason. We need to, you know, funnel that. But what happens is people who, again, have had things in the past, especially boys, they've had that domination, or they've been, you know, in certain situations, then they're attracted to just the opposite, which is someone very submissive. They're drawn to that to be able to dominate that person. And then the person that they're married to or has that particular trait, then what happens is they will, they're drawn to that person because, again, they like that confidence and that direction that they do give. But then after a while, the man thinks the woman is weak, and the woman gets bitter because it's dominant and doesn't work out, right? And so some of our environments can bring out some of these things in us. The Holy Spirit can help us through these things, right? Help us, develop us. But it's a thought process. It's our thinking. The Bible says there in Romans 12:1, right? We are to renew our mind. To renew our mind. like I said before, you know, nobody drives down the highway looking through the rearview mirror. I mean, how can you gauge your future on what's happening in the past? You can't. And we can't play the blame game and everything. Well, I was raised this way. Well, I was raised that way. Well, I was raised this way. Because again, we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're gonna have to give answers for these things, right? Especially if we're born again, we're gonna be judged for our works. Those people who aren't born again are gonna be judged on their sin. So they have to give an account of all the sin that they've committed. But we, on the other hand, that's all forgiven. Those of us who are born again, we're gonna have to make an account for the things we did. And the word says that they'll be burnt up, and the only thing that's gonna be left is gonna be like the gold, the things that are of value. What are those things? Spiritual things. The things that we have done. I was watching we like to watch Andy Griffith on our house, okay? I mean, you know, there's been a little bit of contention in our house because the last three seasons of Andy Griffith do not have Don Knotts as Barney in it. So I refuse to watch it, okay? I just won't watch it because, I mean, Don Knotts, you know, he really brings a lot to the show. So anyway, I laugh at it. But there's an episode in there where you know, there's a son and there's a dominant mom and the son is grown, you know, and he's going to go out on a date with this lady, and then the mother all of a sudden has a headache and she's feeling deathly ill. Well, maybe I shouldn't go. Well, that's manipulation, isn't it? And I've known people that have had parents like that in the past. Mm-hmm. They're very manipulative, very controlling, right? Even when Adrian and I got married, you know, we, right from the beginning, we decided we're going to go to a church. And it's like, well, you don't want to, you know, family members, you don't want to see us anymore. Nah, we're going to church. That's the plan. Well, you give long enough, then guess what? People will learn, won't they? You get in a pattern, you know, right? This morning we were calling family members, talking about some different things. Oh, you guys on your way to church? They know, right? Like I said, well, I made one decision to go to church every Sunday, every time the door is open. I don't have to make 52 decisions every year. I just make one, and that's easy. They were like some of these people that are, how can I say, like Einstein, and we see some other people. They have one outfit, and that's copied, right? Why? Because they don't want to waste time making decisions. They just have all black T-shirts. This is what I have, and this is it, right? Some of the ladies might think, I think it's a great idea. Because you know what I do? You know what I do? I open up my door in the morning and just whatever's there, oh, yeah. And then I notice that things are shifted around a lot. I'm like, it's a different shirt sitting there. So Adrian's got me figured out. So doesn't she? Because I was really like, oh, there's a different shirt there. Oh, wow, this is cool, right? Iniquities can be broken and cleansed. Whatever we've made mistakes in the past, we can change it and break it. We have to want to first, right? If you don't want your marriage, I've talked to people before and about marriage or different things, and you can tell, okay, this is going nowhere. You ever get that vibe? You're just talking to the wall and it's bouncing right back at you. Ever had those people before? You have a conversation. I remember it was last year. Adrian and I were at a, you know, the girls have like, you know, school events and things like that. And one of the parents was there, and we're that family at that church or at the school. You know, you can tell it's yeah. We're the Pentecostal people. We're the, you know, those people. And so I was meeting this Adrian and this one mother of friends and everything, and her husband was there. And She said, "Oh, this is my husband, so-and-so, and this is my husband." I'm like, "Hi, how are you?" And I was shaking a dead, you know, a wet noodle hand, you know. It's like, oh, you get that vibe right away. You're like, oh, this isn't going to go good. This is, yeah. Okay. Right? The want to has to be there to change. And you've had those relationships where you've just, you know from the beginning, this isn't going anywhere. You got that vibe, right? Well, we as a spouse have the ability and the power. Well, I just can't. I'm just always like that. Now you can change. You can change. And again, we live in a society where it's everybody else's fault. We're victims. Somebody else's problem, somebody else's fault. And we're never going to develop. We're never going to grow. Nothing's ever going to change until we say, you know what? I'm going to, oh, boy, I tell you, if she just changed, oh, if that turkey, if he would get his act together, our marriage would be great. But it all starts with this guy. Responsibility, it's a dirty word in today's society. Responsibility, it's awful. You got to take responsibility for your own behavior. I got some people that I've met with people and had meetings with people before where they've done things, and I've had, and you ever had those people where it's never their fault? And there'll be witnesses and tons of people there. There'll be other witnesses. And then all of a sudden, it's your fault. I mean, the Bible talks about, there are, what Paul talks about, deliver me from wicked and unreasonable people. There are people that they could come in and stab you in the back, I mean, physically with a knife, and blame you for it. But I wouldn't have done it. And this is like a five-year-old kind of mentality, right? Well, I wouldn't have done it if they wouldn't have done this. They gave me a dirty look, so I hit them. Or they did this. You're right. You're forced to do that. Specifically, identify your problems, acknowledging your sin or mistakes, and actually repenting. We're getting on some thin ice here, but if we don't recognize it as a mistake, you know, I was in sales years ago. I mean, for mortgage, I was a mortgage advisor for a company. I had a guy come in, and he was really great. We talked about psychology and all these great things, and talking about the reptilian part of your brain, which is on the back part of your brain, and it deals with any time that something is initially presented to you or anything else, it goes through this part of your brain. Okay, and it's a filter. That's why what happens is when something happens and you get upset, or it's the emotional part of your brain, and often your logic goes out the window and you switch over to this, what we call the reptilian part of your brain. Okay, and so, you know, while you're operating in that reptilian part of the brain, often logic goes, and you're strictly emotion or instinct. That's why something can happen and you get mad, like you were talking to somebody, like your spouse, and then they just get so bent out of shape, and you're sitting there thinking, this is the nuttiest conversation I've ever had. Mm-hmm. You ever had those, like, you just, like, with kids or whatever, and all of a sudden it goes beyond logic? Well, they're operating in that, and they don't have the ability to pull back the reins and then go back to the next through that. There's a filter of things in your brain, and they're not moving past the reptilian stage into, they call it the reptilian stage because it's the primate instant, just reaction, you know. Well, sometimes if we're stuck in that part of the brain, then we can't break through. That's why you have kids that they just get so crazy. It's because they're not developed yet, okay? They're just not there yet, all right? And they can't break through that. So anyway, one of the guys that was there, we had all these different things. And I don't know how in the world he cornered me and was talking to me about this stuff, but he was so like upset. And he said, I don't understand. It was just me and him. And I mean, there's probably other, there's probably what, 40 of us, okay, that were in this and we're all working together. I said, you know, I don't understand. Like, I'm teaching this stuff and nobody's doing it. And just getting really upset. And then I thought, it's because their want to isn't there. Their want to. See, they're hearing things, they're hearing good information, but their want to isn't. And he was concerned. He's like, I mean, they're going to ask me to leave, and I'm not going to get this contract back. And he was just really pouring himself out to me. And of course, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I have no ability to, I don't sign the contract for you. But I got an instant wake-up call here that even though this is good material and it can really help us get people from past that point to get into some other things, from a psychological standpoint, nobody there was doing anything with it. You know, we can have things where we are, how can I say, that's really going to help us. But until we get the want to change, break through that and start actually applying things and see a need for it. And again, guys, we're the worst. I'll just admit it right now. Like I said earlier, we're the ones that usually, I mean, usually the ladies are always coming up to say, you know, my husband, I think he's Hitler. I really do. He's just awful terrible. I mean, he's just like the worst human being. Okay, he's not Hitler. But I don't hear guys coming up saying that usually most of the time. You know, often it's ladies. You know, could you say something to him? Yeah, I'm going to say something. It's going to be all fixed, right, like this, right? It doesn't happen that way. So sometimes, guys, we're the ones that's resistant to change, or at least to change ourselves. So we got to break some things in our life, right? The world, that sounds kind of weird. But you know what? We need supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to be able to do things, to be able to repair our marriage. Number one, we need to break iniquity in our life. That's sin. Pray and proclaim freedom. Faith in Jesus and His blood has set us free and receive His forgiveness. Because I always like to think of another thing too. You know, you can go to your spouse and you can get there for forgiveness, because I'm pretty sure everybody here has made mistakes in their marriage or said dumb things. I have, okay? Well, probably nobody, you know, nobody's probably made mistakes, but you know, except for me. But one of the important things in marriage is not only do we forgive, get our spouse, repent, but we need to forgive ourselves too. That's the whole thing of condemnation, or we see sin consciousness, is even though the Lord has forgiven us, we still hold on to the baggage, right? We're still dealing with these things when we've been forgiven the whole time. I remember Jesse Duplantis when he had a trip to heaven and he was with the Lord, and he said, Lord, I'm just not saying. He goes, I've forgiven you. It's gone. See, he's forgiven us. Now we need to forgive ourselves. If we get forgiveness from our spouse, then move on. But the devil wants to continue. And the worst thing that we can do in our marriage is to bring up old issues. Ooh, yeah. That's just a real team builder there. My goodness. That's just really a great relationship builder. Bring up all the nasty stuff in the past, right? Forgive yourself and move on. And I was like to say, it takes two to tango. It always takes two to tango. I laughed so hard one time. I was in this counseling session with people, and the lady just started opening up about all his problems and everything else. And I mean, you'd have to be blind, deaf, dumb, not to see that there was baggage on both sides, right? And so the end of it is, oh, that's great. Okay, great. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about your baggage before we go into his baggage. That didn't go over very well. right? Unless your name's Jesus, then, again, we're all got issues we're working on. So as far as fathers are concerned, and as far as dads, we need to obviously love our wives as Christ loved the church. Number two, we need to be the example. And guess what? We need help with that. Anytime the Bible says that we need to come up to the same level of Jesus Christ, you don't have the ability to do it. And if you're trying to do it in your own flesh, then you're off already. If we're not relying on the Holy Spirit to help us, being in the Word to empower us to be that husband or that spouse that we need to be, then we're going to fail. That's the reason why in the Garden of Eden, you know, people think, oh, it was just so bad that, why was it so bad that Adam and Eve ate a fruit and do things? Why? Because they were trying to be happy without God. They were trying to get the wisdom and everything. They already had the wisdom. They were already perfect because they were made in the image of God. And they were trying to get happy and fulfill themselves outside of God. It never works that way. It never will work that way. Because those people who want, and it's really hard to have this image though, but those people who want nothing to do with God will be somewhere that is completely void of His presence. And that is hell. That is an awful place. Now, you know, we choose to go there. He doesn't make anybody go there, but again, the presence, anything that's absent of God. I mean, here on earth, we've kind of got a mix of both, right? We're corrupt. It's a fallen state. So there is still the Bible talks about that Romans, the first chapter, that we can just go out and we can see the presence of God, right? It's manifest everywhere. There is still a remnant left over from glory, but then there's still, we're at that fallen state that we're in. So, and can't wait to get to heaven because I like to eat and I won't feel guilty about any of it. And it's going to be great food. I mean, can you imagine that? The Last Supper of the Lamb? I mean, it's 7 years long. Hello? 7 happy years of eating. Who doesn't want to go there? The best food ever. All right. Can you imagine that? I think we're going to have a banquet of 7 years, baby. Oh, yeah. Now, if that doesn't get you happy, we need to have CPR on you right now, okay? Especially if you're an adult. And, you know, Adrian told me this the other day. It's hilarious. She goes, you know, you can't eat like you're a teenager anymore. But it's fun. I know. But I did have to correct her and say, I did eat a salad for supper, for lunch. So I did eat a salad. And then I came home and washed it down with an ice cream sandwich, you know, like with some ice cream. So, you know, there's balance there. Hey, come on. You got to live a little bit, right? Anyway, I'm working on it. So just give me a break, okay? I'm trying to. All right. Anyway, Father, we just come before you. I thank you for these people, good people. We thank you, Father, that you're good and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, and I pray that every marriage in this church, every marriage strengthened in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we are coming up to a level to be a blessing to our spouse. We are changing, and God can help us change. With His help, all things are possible to those who believe. You know, this morning, if you need prayer for anything, prayer of agreement, if you don't know Jesus this morning, it's wonderful. Oh, that stuff's crazy. No. He is a real person. My life has been supernaturally set free. When I became rededicated back to God, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, the instant desire for alcohol was gone. Vanished. See ya. I had a whole refrigerator full of beer. I went 2 weeks and I forgot I had it there. He instantly delivered me. The joy that I have now as compared to then, it's wonderful. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. He's helping me. But I've been redeemed. He's forgiven me of my mistakes, things I've done wrong. If that's you, we want to pray for you afterwards. Always want to give an opportunity to pray with people. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Friday night, it's going to kick things off. We're going to have a great time here Friday night, 7 o'clock. It's going to be great. I had a great time yesterday, so amen. Good. Be blessed, and happy lunch. Yeah. Lunch. I'll try not to talk about food anymore, but it's not working, so I'm a failure in that area, so I'll try harder next time.